I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
An update from One Bills Drive, where day two of the mandatory minicamp is just completed here at One Bills Drive. The Bills have one more minicamp session coming up tomorrow, and then they're off for 6 weeks until training camp begins. Speaking of training camp, the training camp schedule came out today from the Buffalo Bills, their 18th consecutive season with training camp at St. John Fisher College in Pittsford, New York, outside Rochester. 12 training camp practices on the schedule at Fisher. One training camp practice on the schedule in Buffalo on Friday, August 3rd, a 6:15 p.m. practice here at New Era Field. Some of the practices, training camps, are ticketed, and some are not. Training camp opens 6 weeks from tomorrow, Thursday, July 26th. There are theme practices as well this year. Go to our website, buffalobills.com. For more information on training camp, 6 weeks away. Around the NFL, the Oakland Raiders have released quarterback Christian Hackenberg from their 90-man roster 3 weeks after acquiring the backup quarterback from the New York Jets for a conditional seventh-round choice. So the Raiders will not be sending that conditional seventh-round pick to the Jets after all. New Raiders coach John Gruden says the decision was made to cut Hackenberg because roster spots were needed to sign veteran defensive linemen. A jury has been ordered to pay former NFL running back Reggie Bush $12.5 million in damages for a knee injury he suffered in St. Louis at Edward Jones Dome on November 1st, 2015. He slipped on concrete, suffered a torn lateral meniscus, and was awarded $12.5 million yesterday. And the Denver Broncos are going to hire DeMarcus Ware as a pass rush consultant for the upcoming season. He'll work on a part-time basis on select days each month. He's already worked with the Broncos during some of their offseason program. DeMarcus Ware played with the Broncos for the last three seasons of his 12-year career, including the victory in Super Bowl 50, struggled with back issues in his final season with the team, and retired after 2016. That is the update from One Bills Drive. As we said, the Bills the Bills minicamp practice is over, and joining us in studio right now, first-round draft pick Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech, linebacker. Tremaine, good to have you here. We talked to you on the phone after you were drafted. Now we got you in here. Thanks for coming by here. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
How did it go today? What'd you think?
It was good. Another good day of work. Just getting better every day and, trying to perfect my craft out there.
Steve's tired of hearing me say this, but I say it a lot. They're asking a lot from you, aren't they? I mean, you don't have to admit it, but they're asking a lot from you, coming right from college at a very young age and stepping in here, not just playing, but kind of managing what goes on out there defensively with the first team, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big step for everybody that's out there. Just that transition from college to the NFL. I mean, you're going to make mistakes out there, and I think the number one thing is just admitting to that. Like, you're not going to be perfect out there, and you got to learn from each mistake and, move forward from there.
What's been the biggest challenge for you? Has it been the complexity of the defense, or how versatile it is, or the speed of the installation? What's been the biggest adjustment?
Just learning everything. I think that's how it is with every new system that someone's in. Even in college, it's just you got to get that system down pat, and then, I think things will start clicking. You start playing faster, and things will happen that way.
Hey, Tremaine, we may have talked to you about this before, but can we go back to draft night, first night of the draft, first round? The Bills have already made a big splashy move, moving up to get the quarterback, Josh Allen. Where were you, and what was that night like for you? Were you home? Were you at Virginia Tech? Were you home in Virginia?
No, I was actually at the draft.
You were there.
Yeah, I was actually at the draft, and I had my family there, and we was all just having a good time, just waiting for that call. And
as the draft went down to where you came up, did you think it's coming? My time's coming here soon. I'm midway through.
I mean, I was ready. I was ready for anything. So from the beginning of the draft till I got picked, or to the end of it, I was ready, man. I was just ready to see what happens and where I end up at, and I can't be more proud to be here.
What did you think when the Bills made that trade? I mean, for a team to trade to get to you indicates what they think of you, right?
It means a lot to me, just seeing me as that type of player that fit their system, and, I can't be more thankful for the opportunity, and I'm going to take full advantage of it.
What'd your dad say as a former Dolphin that you were going to Buffalo?
Man, he was just happy. He didn't bring none of that up.
No former animosity?
He didn't. What he did say is it's a tough place to play. But, you know, nothing bad about it. He was just happy, you know, supporting.
Yeah.
It's tough for visitors like he was. Maybe different for home guys. This is your home field, right? Maybe not so tough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
Tell me about your brother. And are the Steelers in minicamp this week as well?
I believe so.
Have you talked to him much?
Yeah, I talk to him. Yeah, they're in minicamp.
Every day do you talk to him, or how often do you reach out?
I try to talk to him every day, both of my brothers. You know, try to say a little something. If it's not long, because I know our schedules are kind of different, maybe shoot him a text. You know, I'm not always on the phone with him, but maybe just shoot him a text, see how everything going, and move forward from there.
How's it been going off the field, like in the classroom, in the film study, and you're in the defensive room and you're working with the coordinator? I mean, how's that been going with the film study, with the groups, the position groups? Also the total defensive meetings. Talk about the atmosphere and the attitude guys have got coming into those rooms.
Yeah, I think it helps out a lot because, you know, some of the veteran guys, you know, they're doing a whole lot of communication in there and, you know, talking about what they see out there on the field. And it's good for us young guys to hear that so we could, you know, hear it before we actually display it out there on the field. We can already have a feel for it. And just asking all our questions in there and getting everything, you know, corrected so we could take it to the field.
Do you feel like you're catching up? Because these guys are, you know, they're a year into this system. I mean, they're not changing too much on defense, a couple of players. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of veterans who are also, like you, brand new into the system. So do you feel like you're catching up to those guys? I mean, that's a long way to go, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying every day to, you know, just study my material. And just control the things that I can. And that's just me locking in that playbook and making sure I'm doing my assignment.
Tell me about learning your assignments. Steve said a couple of weeks after the veterans were here, they throw a playbook at you. How much more work have you had to do to kind of get used to what's in that playbook and understand what's going on in there?
You got to do a lot. You just got to study. And I think that's the number one thing. You know, whatever it takes to get that thing down packed, you got to make sure you're doing that. And, you know, it's different things, but, you know, just making sure you get that down pat.
So a little bit about, you know, when you got out there, I mean, obviously, you know, when you first got here, how did you find out, like, listen, you're the top guy on the depth chart? I mean, how do they tell you, like, how do they communicate with you about the role you're going to play, which seems to be right in the middle of everything? I mean, they put everything on your plate. How do they tell you that? What did they say?
I mean, it's kind of just, you know, just keep stressing the fact that I got to communicate out there. You know, I'm in the middle, so I got to make sure I'm communicating out there to the whole defense. And, you know, they tell all the guys, make sure you're doing your assignment. That's the one thing they told me as well. So making sure I do that and making sure I get the job done.
So you're calling defenses and you're learning the playbook and they send a defense in and you basically have to repeat it to everybody, right? Defensive huddle.
Yeah.
But what about other than that? I mean, are you at the point now where you can notice things and say, hey, shade this way, or hey, take a half step back or something? Or will that take some time to get to that level of your understanding of this defense so you start moving guys around a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got some things down, you know, just trying to take a step every day, you know, getting those type of things down pat, you know, so I can start recognizing and just reacting. But, you know, like I said, man, I'm understanding the defense more every day, and I think that's going to be a big thing for me.
You are 20 years old, right?
Yeah.
You're playing with, you know, Lorenzo Alexander, Kyle Williams are 15 years older than you.
Yeah.
Any hesitation at all, kind of moving them around, telling them what you see, what you sense, what you think people should do?
No, sir. I mean, in this game, you got to be firm in what you say. And once you make a decision, you just got to go with it. And so, you know, that's what I'm doing out there. I rely back on those guys for help, though, and advice while I'm out there. So they done a good job with that, and I can't thank them enough.
We asked Josh Allen, I said, listen, after this week, you know, you're kind of – they kind of shush you out of the building for like 6 weeks until you training camp. Are you kind of anxious to maybe take a deep breath, say, hey, I'm ready to sit down and kick back for just a minute? I mean, what's your plans on for this next 6 weeks after this week is over to get out of this building, go back and start training, you know, continue to stay in shape? I mean, are you kind of ready for that?
I mean, I think we all kind of know it's not really a break. I mean, it's a break, but at the same time, you got to be locked in, and because when it comes back, it's go time, and got to make sure you have everything down packed. And I think that's going to be a lot of this break, just me making sure I get back in that book, you know, staying in shape and things like that. You know, training with my brothers, I think that's going to be a big help for me because we could all talk about how we view the game and from offensive side and defensive side.
It's a break. It's not a break.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
Hey, Tremaine, your play is. You know, you got teammates noticing that. We had Lorenzo here on the set a couple weeks ago, and he said, I don't know if you heard this or not, he said, Tremaine is going to be an all-pro performer in a couple of years. Wyatt Teller, college teammate of yours from Virginia Tech, on our show just last week, said something to the effect that I said to him, you know, how did you know that at Virginia Tech that Tremaine was going to be good? And he said, just look at him. What do you think when you got teammates noticing your play and how you look and what you've done out here so far in a very short time?
I appreciate it, you know, but I have a lot more room for improvement and, you know, things that I have to get better with, you know, assignments that I have to get down. And so, you know, in order for this team, you know, to take the next step, it's just going to be about everybody just out there, you know, communicating, everybody out there playing as one. And that's going to be my responsibility for myself to making sure I have my assignment down.
Okay, and all the stuff that you've been through, all the drills and all the stuff, now the 11-on-11, you watch, who have you noticed?
From just offense and defense?
Yeah, who's out there that say, wow, that guy's a really good player? I'm like, who have you noticed for their abilities and their you know, like wow, I never saw anybody like this at Virginia Tech, like that kind of thing.
Well, for me right now, it's kind of everybody, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, just me trying to – I'm kind of locked in on my assignment right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I see a lot of guys out there making big plays and things like that from both sides. So it's kind of hard for me to just, you know, give you a couple of names, but it's a lot of them out there that's doing good.
When you talk about locking down to your assignments, where did you learn to do that? When did you start doing that, to be that serious and that focused on what was being asked of you?
I think at a young age, both of my parents did a good job with that and just always kept our heads on straight. Just speaking of my dad, since he played in the league, just taught me at a young age what it took to be successful. And he was my coach in high school, so it'd be several times when I wanted to do other things, but he said, no, we about to watch film. So I learned at a young age that, I mean, you got to sacrifice sometimes, and, you know, that's the number one thing, just to make sure you focus.
Do you think when you get playing here, regular season, I guess, or maybe in preseason, would you – well, your dad can watch film now, right? We can all get film, all 22 film. You think you'll compare notes with him? What did you see here? What did you see there? I mean, he'd be a valuable resource to tell.
I'm pretty sure he's always going to have something to say after my game, just like in college. But yeah. It's only to my benefit. Like, it's going to help me out just seeing what he sees, because he played tight end. So seeing what he sees from an offensive perspective, so I can apply it to my game. So I'm pretty sure we'll be talking.
What's your family going to do on game days? You got a brother playing in Pittsburgh? Your brother's at the Saints?
Yes, sir.
What are they going to do? They're going to split up?
They'll figure it out. They've been figuring it out my whole life. So.
Yeah, but you got three different spots now.
Hey, I know they're going to do whatever
ticket,
it takes.
Man.
They
Sunday
always
ticket.
Have a plan for us. So.
Is there like a – tell me about the rivalry or the competition between you and your brothers. I mean, you're all playing in the league now. I mean, you got to, like, compare. Like, you got to measure yourself against your brothers, how they're doing, what they're doing. Is there any of that going on? Do you guys get together at Thanksgiving dinner and say – I had a better year than you did. I mean, right?
I don't know what's going to happen this year because, you know, this being our first year, we're all in the league, so I'm not sure what's going to happen. I know it's going to be a little bit of junk talking,
right?
A little bit reflecting on, you know, what we've been through. And,
you're out on the driveway playing hoops against each other, you're going to be talking a lot of smack.
Oh, yeah. We're always talking smack.
Like the Murphy family.
Right. Hey, Tremaine, a couple of years ago, the Gronkowskis, you know, Rob had two other brothers playing in the league. Chris was playing in the league, and Danny was playing in the league, all three at once. And I recall talking to them. They grew up around here. Did you guys anticipate this would ever happen? And they're like, oh, yeah, this was the plan all along. Was this the plan in the Edmonds family to have you and your brothers in the NFL at the same time?
I would say it was definitely a plan to have us all playing professional ball, whatever it was.
Because
growing up, we all played multiple sports. So
so you could choose NBA even?
Yeah, we never, you know, you can't really tell what the other brother's thinking. So you don't know if one wants to be a basketball player, one wants to be a football player. But like I said, we all played all those sports. We all did a lot growing up. So we all wanted to play professional ball. So whatever that was, that's always been a plan.
And you think you got something out of playing multiple sports? I always thought as well. I mean, I thought it's crazy to have 8-year-old kids choose one sport and not play anything else. And
yeah.
Do you agree with that, or – would you have been better served as maybe picking just football at 8 years old and never playing anything else?
No, I think it's good, just my perspective, but I think it's good playing multiple sports just because you don't know, like, what those other sports have to offer. So if you just settle yourself to play one sport, then, I mean, you're missing out on what may be an opportunity for yourself. And I say from there you can kind of pick and choose which one you want to play and which one you think you have success with.
You
got to
try a lot of them, right?
Got to.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question about – yourself as a player, and I know you're going to want to say, I got to get better. I understand that, but right now, what's the best thing you think you do? What's the biggest thing that you provide the Buffalo Bills right now as far as your skill set? What do you do well?
I think I'm a tall guy that can bend, You know, the tall guy that can get low. I think, you know, tall guys sometimes have bad reps with, you know, not being able to bend their knees. But, you know, I think I can get low.
That's good. How do you like Buffalo? It's been here a month, 5-6 weeks now. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. You know, like I tell my family, I haven't really done much just because, you know, things kind of been moving fast. I kind of been locked in. So just been trying to get my assignments down and things like that. So I really haven't had a whole lot of time to actually explore. But from what I've seen, I've been enjoying it.
We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Locked in. We encourage you to take a look around Buffalo. You know, you're going to be here a while, we all hope.
Right.
Tremaine, thanks for this. Good luck to you. We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Tremaine Edmonds, Bills linebacker, first-round draft pick in studio with us. Steve and I back with more in a moment. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Show John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, day two of the Bills minicamp ends today. One more day to go. We just had Tremaine Edmonds in studio with us, Buffalo's other first-round draft pick. An impressive guy. Put him on your list, Steve, of impressive draft picks, right?
I mean, yeah, you talk about a guy who's got his nose on the grindstone.
He can't get enough work, it sounds like. He cannot get enough. I'm like, give me more.
Dude, take a deep breath.
Yeah, exactly.
Put your feet up for a minute.
I hope he does. I hope he doesn't want to tell us that, but I hope he does, especially in the upcoming 6 weeks. You know, take a break and say, whew, it's a grind, Steve. I mean, think
it's
about
funny.
These guys.
He goes,
it's a grind.
It's funny. He said, "Yeah, it's a break. It ain't no break. You can't take a break.
It's got to be a little bit of a break, right? Isn't it? Doesn't it?
In some ways, it is, and in some other ways, it's less of a break because now it's all on you. You got to do it every day. You don't get to come in here and be coached. You don't get to come in here and run through. You know, have somebody else set up practice. You got to do it yourself. You got to go out and find somebody to work out with. You got to go down." Go to the gym yourself. You got to, you know, get a workout partner. You got to get somebody to train you. You got to, you know, you got to find a way to watch film on your own. You got to, you know, it's all on you then. So in a lot of ways, it's not a break. It's when you actually go to work, and it's the times when a pro athlete, when you're standing in the end zone or when you're standing over the quarterback after making a sack or when you're making those big plays and you stand up for that minute in celebration, these are the times that nobody sees. When it set you up for those times, you know, when you're working by yourself, nobody knows how hard you work. Nobody knows the sacrifices you make, and it's those times that make it worth it.
His demeanor, his approach, the way he answers our questions, I think shed a great deal of light on why he was so highly regarded, not just by the Bills, but several teams in the NFL. 16th pick in the first round. Tremendous physical ability. You know, he's huge, big stature, can run all day. But, you know, what he said, I'm tall and I can bend, so he knows what he can do well athletically. But it's his approach that maybe lifts him from just another first-rounder to a guy that you really want to keep an eye on in the first round if you're a team looking for a linebacker. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, you think about where he came out in the draft at 16th overall in a draft where there were four quarterbacks taken ahead of him.
Yeah.
Four quarterbacks. And, you know, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty high.
And why the Bills would make that aggressive move up
and they'd
to get
go up
him.
To get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you. That's he's an outstanding kid, and he's you know, he's just one more guy that we brought him. And I keep saying this, because it sounds like a broken record. They're impressive.
Yeah.
They're not just football players, impressive young men. And it's kind of nice to see. It's really nice to see.
Want to hear from you today. The phone line's open. Maybe you'd like to participate in our Twitter poll, which deals with defensive difference makers. The veteran free agents they've signed. That's the question we asked today on Twitter, on our Twitter poll. Which of the veteran additions on Twitter, or on defense, which of the veteran additions are you most excited about seeing? Which Buffalo Bills free agent acquisition on defense are you most excited to watch this season? There's a razor-thin margin between these three names. It is the greatest Twitter poll of the day. Star Lotulelei, 34% say Star Lotulelei. 33% say Vontae Davis, 32% say Trent Murphy, 1% have somebody else in mind. I can't imagine who that might be. Give us a call and let's discuss. 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550.
It is the greatest Twitter poll in the history of One Bills Live, without question.
Well, I won't.
We're 6 weeks into it.
All right. I just don't feel like going back over 6 weeks and reviewing, but
no,
I agree.
It is.
It's got much more. much more traction than I thought it would.
Yeah. Late in the going, Starlo Tulele has started to take over because, you know.
It's 34%. What do you mean take over?
Well, that's as big a lead as anybody's had.
1%.
Trent Murphy's down to 32%, and Vontae Davis holding steady at 33%.
These are statistical insignificance.
It's
really.
With 1,200
votes. The margin of error.
Over 1,200 votes. That's amazing. And it's been fun to watch because you can make a case for all of these guys. Starlo Tulele, in Buffalo, maybe more so than any other market, with a guy like Kyle Williams and then the significance that he's had on this team, you see another great guy come in up front, a big body who's penetrating and been a dominant in this defense to come in and help him. You think, wow, that's a guy that we could do it again. It'd even be twice as good with him and Kyle, along with Harrison Phillips. I mean, Starlo Tulele could be the guy. So that's why people vote for him. Vontae Davis, getting into a secondary that's already populated with Pro Bowl players, he may be the first option matchup teams look for. He's going to get a lot of opportunities with an added pass rush up front that's going to make it even more, you know, great for the defensive backs in Buffalo. And, of course, Trent Murphy, who you sprinkle him into a revamped front seven with Jerry Hughes on the far side, Kyle Williams and Starlo Tulele on the inside. Trent Murphy could be the guy that really is the first guy maybe in a while, in too long, to get double-digit sacks for the Bills. So all that stuff, it's pretty fun.
On our tweet sheet, a couple of interesting responses. Ronald Baldoff says, Star is going to help Tremaine be great out of the gate. Hope so. Alan McCoy, I think Star, Starlo Tulele, will be the most exciting because he impacts everyone else on the field. He will open up gaps and allow the defensive ends and linebackers to attack the quarterback and stuff the run. Two good points, two good votes for Starlo Tulele.
Yeah, then Chris Rolex says, I picked Vontae Davis. I can't wait to see how dangerous this secondary can be this year. I have some pretty high expectations for this group, and I think that's justifiably so.
And then one from Nick Blake, who tweets in, I'm looking forward to see what Star and Kyle will do together on the interior of the defensive line. These are all good responses.
Yeah, and I think
we're all over the board.
I said it earlier in the show. As good as the team was, as fun as the team was to watch last year, as kind of the overachievers that they were a year ago, they're going to look completely different this year on both sides of the ball. I can't get over how much I anticipate that and what it's going to look like. They are going to be a completely different looking football team, even with the same secondary returning, even with the skill position of Shady and Charles Clay and Kelvin Benjamin. They're going to look completely different offensively as well. It's really an interesting offseason for me, because you don't know what the identity of this team is going to emerge.
Give us your thoughts on that. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. A call from Larry in Amherst. Hello, Larry. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Guys, two quick topics I'd like to discuss with you. And,
okay.
John, these are items that you discussed earlier in the year, the first one being Thursday night football. As I recall, when the NFL started Thursday night football, college football had a primetime game every Friday night, which is why the NFL did Thursdays. Steve, since you work for the networks, I'm wondering if you think the networks might ever consider moving Thursday night to Friday nights. One, I think they would get better ratings because a majority of people in our country don't work Saturday mornings, so they could stay up later and watch the games. Teams could have a little more time for preparation. Players would have 24 more hours to heal, and I suspect it would be a really popular thing with a lot of the sports bars to go out to Friday night and watch a game. The other thing is, John, you had talked one time about the length of the games and the problems it's created sometimes, and I thought maybe the NFL should consider starting games at 12:45 instead of 1 o'clock and allow 20-minute halftimes. When you watch games on TV or when I'm at the stadium, when halftime is over with, a lot of people aren't even back in their seats yet because they haven't been able to go to the restrooms or get their food or whatever. And I think with a 20-minute halftime and starting the game 15 minutes earlier, the networks would have a little bit more time to run their commercials. They would get higher money instead of the pre-game price that they charge for NFL. They would get a higher price for the commercials in the game itself, and the games would get done a little sooner possibly, and then the games that normally start at 4:25, maybe they could start at 4:15 and it wouldn't be a problem. So I wondered if maybe...
Yeah, a couple of interesting things there, Steve.
That's interesting, Larry.
Friday night, the issue historically has been the feeling that Friday night is high school night. And
that's
that
right.
Nobody wants to step on high school football.
That's right.
There aren't a whole lot of college games on Friday night.
No, they do not want to touch Friday night because of high school football. That sounds kind of crazy, but that's something that the NFL, I'm sure they did the research on it, and they got a lot. I think they got a ton of pushback from high school football about, you know, not encroaching on that time slot in the NFL. So that's why they went all the way to Thursday. It should have been Friday night. And in fact, when the college season ends and the bowl season begins, Saturday night becomes an NFL night. So, they don't want to touch Friday night football because of high school football, and that's been kind of the unbreakable rule for the NFL and their TV negotiations. They don't want to do it on Friday night just because of high school.
As far as Larry's thought on different game start times, I don't know. I am sure the league has done a lot of research into what all of that means for television ratings, because that's really what drives this start times. I did read. I found this interesting, and this is several months ago when people are, you know, people get obsessed with ratings declines. They're not that bad. Most of the declines are Thursday night football, as a matter of fact. But one thing I read about, Steve, which I thought was fascinating, was a concept of having different start times for every game. For instance, Bills Jets start at 1, Dolphins Ravens start at 1:08, Cleveland and Cincinnati start at 1:15, and sort of staggering it that way so that every game has a little bit different start time, and maybe that would help ratings a little bit. Of course, you don't want to get too backed up for the second game of the doubleheader, but to me, it sounds like that is something that has been considered by the league. I don't know if 12:45, I mean, if you're talking about out west, that's 9:45 a.m. If you're talking about Hawaii, what are we talking about? 12:45 is 7:45 in the morning, right? So that's pretty early.
Yeah, and that's all that all goes into the hopper of the ideas that have been discussed. There's no question about it. I don't think the length of games is what it is. They want the games from start kickoff to end to be 3 hours exactly. That's what they want.
Last year, I think what they read 304, 306.
Yes, 304.
Like
so what? And with the play clock, with the halftime, all of that stuff, it's all centered around being a 3 hour game. So they want it to be from 1 to 4. And the real sacred cow, and you were talking about having the games start, instead of starting at 4:20, they would start at 4:15 or whatever. The 4 o'clock window on Sunday afternoon is the ratings window of the week on television in America. That is the highest rated television block in America because it's the 4 o'clock game on television. It's either on, you know, CBS or Fox or who, what have you. And that's something they don't want to tinker with too much. So you're right. They could start the game at 12:45. I don't think anybody cares that much about when it starts, at least on the continental U.S. But when you get out to, well, in the West Coast, they probably do care, you know, on Pacific time. So you can't really tinker with that too much. I mean, and if you go later than that, then you start getting into what really makes money, and that's the 4 o'clock window,
right,
the second game of the doubleheader. So I think they are what they are. They're going to try and keep the games at 3 hours and not tinker with it too much. And as for Thursday night football, I don't think it's going anywhere. This past year they had a little bit of an uptick in injuries, but that's the first year it's happened. And they're not touching Friday night because of high school football.
Some of his other issue was 20-minute halftimes. Halftime's currently 12 minutes now. I don't see an upside.
They went from 15 to 12.
Yeah, that was the direction they were going in.
They were going less halftime, not more halftime. So I think that probably won't reverse.
Halftime's quick.
It is.
I mean, you
it is
work
very
as
quick.
A
yeah, it is
you
very quick.
That.
It is very quick. You don't even time. You know, you're right. And a lot of people can't get back to their seats.
Right.
And they're finding an excuse to get out of their seat early at half before halftime, get something to eat before the crowd gets there, so they can get back to their seat and watch the second half. So yeah, that is an issue. And I wouldn't mind a longer halftime, but I don't know how you're going to fit the game into a 3 hour window if you do.
Yeah, that's going in the wrong direction.
Exactly.
Thanks for your call, Larry. Some interesting thoughts. 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3 o'clock today. Time now for NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. True, false. LeSean McCoy mentioned this the other day. The NFL's top 100 came out on NFL Network. He was number 30. He led off the show the other night, Monday night, as the 30th best player in the NFL, as voted on by his peers. So the NFL players polled by NFL Network say LeSean McCoy is the 30th best player last year, 2017. True or false, McCoy deserves to be lower or higher, depending on how you look at it, somewhere between 1 and 30 in the NFL's top 100. True, false? Steve, I'll let you go first.
He could go a little higher. I think if you're going to take the top guy from each one of the teams and go down to the 30 teams, he is the best player on the Buffalo Bills roster, no question about it. I think he's as good and probably the most versatile running back in the league. I think he's dangerous both in the running game and the passing game. You may be able to say you can hand it off to a guy and there's a better running back, a guy when you hand it off to him, he's better. Or maybe there's one of the guy that can run pass routes or catch the ball better, but there's nobody who does both as good as LeSean McCoy. And if you say if that quality alone puts him in the top 30, I'd say it may be even higher than that, maybe in the top 25, top 20. Certainly there's a bunch of quarterbacks that are important and maybe some pass rushers. But I think when you're talking about the top players, most important players in the league, I think you got to stick to the skill positions. I don't think I'm going to put a left tackle in that group. I'm not going to put a guard in that group. Maybe a pass rusher or two, maybe a corner or two, but that's about where it stops. And I think LeSean McCoy belongs probably in the top 20. So I'm going to say true. He deserves to be higher.
Thanks for getting to that position thing, because to me, that's the key. Look, I think the NFL Top 100, as presented by NFL Network, is a classic off-season time filler, right? That's all it is. Nobody cares, really. But if we're, as long as we're discussing. No, really.
I care.
No, you don't. You lay awake at night and think, I can't wait. Did you watch the other night? You won't watch. You won't watch when they do number one.
Is it on now?
Next week. Yeah, exactly. When is it on again? Exactly. I guess I'd be most interested in what other running backs are ahead of LeSean McCoy, because I think there might be only a couple who deserve to be ranked higher than him. I can't find the list anywhere at my fingertips here of where they are, the top 100 players. So You tell me who's ahead of him at running back, and then I'll let you know if he deserves to be higher. I'm going to say false, because I think it's kind of, as I said, a phony off-season issue that no one pays that much attention to. Even Shady didn't take it seriously, Steve, right?
Right.
I mean, he was like, well, I could have been higher, or whatever.
Yeah,
he was 30. Let me just go through, if I can get my computer to work here, go through 30 to 21. Matt Ryan was at 29. Shady was 30. I mean, don't you think Matt Ryan might – I mean, quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
If you're making a list of the top 100 players in the NFL, you probably, in your mind anyway, start with the quarterbacks. Let me rank the quarterbacks first, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So 30 to be – look, he's one of the top players in the league. There's only 32 teams. He's one of the top. I don't have a problem with that. I think he does not deserve to be ranked higher or lower, for that matter. That's what I think of the NFL's top 100.
Right.
Yeah, NFL, true or false? How was that? Did I dismiss that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you did.
NFL, true or false, number two. Julio Jones should sit out training camp if a new deal isn't reached. True, false? I'll say false. I don't think a player enhances his bargaining position by sitting out mini camp or training camp. I think, you know, your numbers are there. They know who you are. You sit out training camp. I don't think you get a better bargaining position in the end. So, no, I'm going to go false on this. Look, a player sitting out a year doesn't happen, right? A player missing time happens so rarely that it's not even a factor. So you know he's going to play. You know he is 95% certain to play on opening day. So sitting out training camp hurts him and his team more than it enhances his bargaining position. I say false. This is false. Mr. Tasker?
I say it's true.
No, you're just trying to disagree with me.
Because here's the thing. You go in there training camp. What? Yeah. Or he could go in and not do anything. Well, what are you going to do? Why would you risk a non-contact injury? Why would you risk going in there and getting hurt, breaking your ankle? And
he's under contract.
Yeah, he is under contract. But that contract is outdated.
So he's under contract. His name's on the line.
Yeah, well, you know what? He has a recourse. If he doesn't want to honor the contract, he can stay out.
He won't. I just said, you know he won't. You know he'll play. He'll play if he has to. Falcons probably won't let it happen, but he'll play if he has to. The difference between walking away from that deal, what he'll get paid or not, is millions. Of course he'll play. He's under contract. Yeah. I don't even think he has a choice, really.
Here's what I think he does. Here's the thing, and it comes down to this. Does he think the Atlanta Falcons will cave in? That's the only reason to hold out. If he thinks he can get them to cave in, if he holds out, then you got to hold out. If he thinks they're not going to, if he thinks they're going to have to make him come in, if he's going to go a year without playing, you got to come in. If you don't think you can get that deal done, you come in. you're right, Murph. If there's no deal to be had, if the Falcons are the kind of organization that are going to say, listen, your deal's your deal. You got 2 years left or 3 years left or whatever it is, you're going to play this deal out. Then you have to come in. Then you have to come in. And then, because that's the crux of the whole issue. If you can get a new deal, you should get a new deal. If you cannot, then don't try it. Come in, play the contract out, and make them franchise you or transition you, and then move on with your career after that.
When you played, and it was a different era, some of your teammates sat out training camp, right? Thurman had a long training camp holdout. Yeah, he did. I remember it. Did their deal get better because they didn't show up to training camp? I have a hard time believing that.
No, but I think it's a posture you have to take. You got to tell them you're serious about it. Otherwise, they won't get the deal. The deal never get done. I mean, they just, yeah, okay, we'll talk about it next week. Well, you got, you know, eight practices between now and then. And then what do? You come up with a hamstring pull, and then does your position get weaker? Yeah, it kind of does. Because even if you do have a new deal, you can't practice. So they're not in any hurry to get it done at all. So that's basically what you're risking. And football is different than it is in any other sport because it is – There is some inherent physical risk when you're out there practicing even rather than just playing.
All right, finally, NFL true or false. This one I have a hard time. Travis Kelce, tight end Kansas City, is a better number 87 than Rob Gronkowski. No, he's not. No, false. Kelce, in fact, has been talking about how he is better. He's the best tight end in football. NFL's top 100, which we just disparaged a moment ago, has him number 24 in the NFL. Travis Kelce, Chiefs tight end. No, he's not better than Rob Gronkowski. When Gronkowski's healthy, he is a force. He is a force to be reckoned with. Travis Kelce's good, really good. I don't think he scares defenses the way Rob Gronkowski, a healthy Rob Gronkowski, does.
Well, you can't like qualify it like that. Is he better or not? Is Kelce better for 16 games than Gronkowski is for 8?
Because that's the thing. Gronkowski.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
I think that's the question you got to ask. Kelsey's available, and if Gronkowski, not always. So when you say that, though, I'll tell you what, Travis Kelce's a really good tight end. He's really good. Great hands, great route running. He's there. He shows up in crunch spots. They ask him to do everything that the Patriots ask Gronkowski to do. He's come through for them. It's close, but with you, when they're both healthy, I don't think anybody touches Gronkowski because he's a significantly bigger target. Even Kelce, as big as he is, Gronkowski's catch radius is unbelievable. And
Gronkowski's a good blocker, too.
And I agree. So when they're healthy, I agree. I'd still take Gronkowski over Kelce, but, man, you give me a choice, I'll take either one that you don't want.
I would do that. That's NFL true or false. Steve went false on that one, by the way, right?
Yes.
NFL true or false brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. We're back in a moment. One Bills live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Would you agree with me that the visit from Tremaine Edmonds was the highlight of the show today? Or did you have something?
Twitter else? Poll was a highlight.
Tremaine Edmonds visited the show today. We'll talk about the Twitter poll. Bills first round draft pick, linebacker, Virginia Tech. We asked him if he's got any hesitation about, you know, taking over on the field. He calls the defensive plays, and then he's got to move players around a little bit. Any hesitation about doing that with some of the veterans on the defensive roster for the Bills? Here's what Tremaine Edmonds had to say.
No, sir. I mean, in this game, you got to be firm in what you say. And once you make a decision, you just got to go with it. And so, you know, that's what I'm doing out there. I rely back on those guys for help, though, and advice while I'm out there. So they've done a good job with that, and can't thank them enough.
Tremaine Edmonds, all business during his appearance on the show today. We heard from LeSean McCoy on the show today. He had a lot of good things to say about the other first-rounder, about Josh Allen. Here's what Shady said.
He's good. He's smart. He has to learn, of course. He throws some passes that probably shouldn't have been thrown. But other than that, he has a strong arm. He's very intelligent. He's too smart. I tell him sometimes, we have conversations, hey, man, easy. This is not like an exam. Just talk to me. You can say, yo. You can say, what's up. But as a talent level, Nah, he's going to be really good for a lot of years, and I want to be a part of that when he takes over eventually. I mean, took him early in the draft, so that's just common sense. But nah, he's special. That's for sure.
Steve, I just want to let you know, as the newcomer on the show, you can say yo to me. You can say what's up to me. I'm good with that.
I appreciate that. That's, you know what? I'm going to call mom and dad and tell them you said that.
I can guess say yo
what,
now.
Guess what Murph told me? I can say yo to him.
Or what's up.
Or what's up. They'll be proud.
Our Twitter poll today. Steve thinks that was the highlight of the show, and we should revisit the Twitter poll. Here's what we got. Which Bills free agent acquisition on defense are you most excited to watch this season? It's so close. I hate to call it, but we got to call it. Star Latulale. 34% of the vote goes to Star Latulale. He is the one defensive free agent acquisition that our respondents are most excited about seeing. A dead heat. Vontae Davis and Trent Murphy, 32%. 2% have something else in mind. Steve, what a great Twitter poll. Congratulations.
It really was. It really was. I'm going to sleep well at night tonight knowing that we hit it out of the park with
you hit it out of the
Twitter
park.
Poll today.
So because of that, and you're off now for about a week and a half, we're going to need a Twitter poll texted in by you every day.
I'm not giving you the good stuff while I'm not here. You're going to have to tread water on your own.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, like you're really upset about it.
No, I thought it was a good Twitter poll.
It was today.
I told our producer before we aired it, I said, I think this is a lame Twitter poll. I thought it was too tight. I thought there's not enough wiggle room here, but you were right.
That's what you want, man. You've got to make it a tough call.
It was a tough call.
It really was. It really was. And I think those three guys, I think they're all going to contribute. And it's about which one are you most excited about. And I was kind of surprised everybody picked the defensive tackle.
Yeah.
I agree. Now, granted, it's by a 2% margin over the other two guys. Nevertheless, I think it speaks to what the fans are looking for in that front seven. I think it's going to be an upgrade everywhere.
Got to think through that. Maybe we can do that on the offensive side. There's one more day of minicamp. That's coming up tomorrow. Chris Brown will be with us in studio here tomorrow. He'll also be out on the field reporting from minicamp. So come on back tomorrow, even though Steve won't be here. We are on the air at 12 noon until 3 p.m. tomorrow. I want to thank our great crew, J.J. Torito and Jeff Koltnick and Kelly Rood. And who am I missing? I dropped my card
Thomas.
Here. Oh, Thomas Hollander, George Blass, Kevin Cargis, James Roble. Pretty good for not having it in front of me. Could you do that?
No.
Our producer is Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon.
Sometimes I forget your first name.
12 noon tomorrow with One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.